Good morning, church family. So just in front of our pulpit, we have a table. Normally that table is decorated with candles or flowers, but this Sunday our table is draped with a white tablecloth. And our table has been set with plates and cups. On the plates we have bits of bread, and in the cups we have a bit of grape juice. That's because this Sunday is our quarterly observance of the Lord's Supper, also called our communion service. Now, if you're not familiar with the Lord's Supper, it is a rite or ceremony instituted by Christ on the night before he died. And he established it to be a perpetual memorial of his life and ministry. The scriptures don't tell us how often we're supposed to celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is why each local church decides for itself how often it will participate. And a few years ago, we decided that here at Grace, we would celebrate once per quarter. And there was some thought behind that. We were concerned that if we observed it weekly or monthly, simply appended it to a normal worship service, that it might lose something. It might become more of an empty ritual than a true spiritual exercise. However, we didn't want to do it just once a year, as some churches do, because that doesn't seem to keep with the spirit of Christ in desiring this to be a frequent observance. So we settled on once per quarter. And here at Grace, just to keep the service special, we devote the entire service to the observance. And we change the order of worship in this service. And so instead of having about half our service consumed with song, and then the other half of me giving a sermon, for these services, we mix it up. And so we'll have a song, and then I'll speak for a few minutes, and then another song, and I'll speak for a few more minutes. And this is how the service will progress. And then the climax of the service will be the participation in the bread and the cup. We also made the decision to keep the observance of the Lord's Supper in our worship service. Now, many churches are moving the communion observance to Sunday evenings or to the midweek service out of concern that maybe visitors won't fully understand or appreciate what's going on. But we've decided that since communion is an act of worship, that we would include this in the worship service and simply explain what we're doing as we go. So over the course of the service, I will be explaining what the Lord's Supper is all about. But for now, I simply ask you to prepare your hearts for what we're about to participate in together. I've asked Rob Monahan to play through a hymn for us to help us in this time of prayer and meditation. So this morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have or if you're going to use one of the Bibles that we provide under the seats, you'll find this on page 958. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 23 through 26. These are the Apostle Paul's words about the Lord's Supper. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now this morning I want to draw four principles about the Lord's Supper from this text. And the first principle is this, that at the Lord's Supper, we give thanks. At the Lord's Supper, we give thanks. We see this in the opening verses of our passage. Now here we find Christ with his disciples. They're gathered together in an upper room. This is the night before Jesus died. In fact, it's just a few hours before his arrest. And Jesus and his disciples had just celebrated the Passover feast together. Now, at the conclusion of that feast, he introduces them to this little ceremony. You'll notice that just before he distributes the bread and the cup, he pauses for a prayer. And in this prayer, he gives thanks. Jesus was doing this to provide an example for us to follow. We see here through Jesus that the Lord's Supper is something for which we are supposed to be grateful, supposed to express our gratitude to God. In fact, everywhere we turn in the Scriptures, we are called to be a thankful people. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting." Psalm 118 verse 1 gives us the same instruction. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. The same instruction comes again in Jeremiah 31 verse 11. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. The Scriptures are constantly calling the people of God to express their gratitude to God. This is supposed to be a way of life for believers. And the reason in each of these texts is the same. It's the goodness of God to us. My friends, nowhere is the goodness of God for us seen more clearly than in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world was estranged from God because of sin. We were separated from Him. But God, out of His love and His grace, took action to remedy our plight. He sent His Son into the world to live and to die and to rise again for us. Through Jesus' life, we learned about the character of God. We saw what He is like. We were given an example that we should follow. Through Jesus' teachings, we learned how to be reconciled to God, namely through repentance and faith. Through Jesus' death, we obtained a full atonement for our sins. And through His resurrection, we are given hope that we too will have eternal life. My friends, through the Lord's Supper, we are acknowledging the good that we have received from God through Christ. We are expressing the joyfulness of our hearts for what God has done for us. And we are recommitting ourselves to God. We are committing ourselves to reciprocating the love that He has given to us. And so, my friends, the Lord's Supper is a time for us to pause, to reflect on the goodness of God to us, the goodness of sending His Son to us. And it's a time for us to give thanks to God for what He has done. Let's sing together. At the Lord's Supper, we give thanks. And at the Lord's Supper, we remember. We see that at the end of verse 23. After Jesus distributes the bread, He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then after the cup, He says, "Drink it in remembrance of me." The Lord's Supper is a memorial that we observe. In fact, the Scriptures are also constantly reminding us to remember important events and people. In Exodus 13, verse 3, Moses said to the children of Israel, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery." In Exodus 20, verse 8, the Lord says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, it says, "You shall remember all the way in which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years." In Isaiah 46, verse 9, God says, "Remember the former things long past. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me." So throughout the Scriptures, we have these exhortations to us to remember, to remember. In the Scriptures, to remember something doesn't just mean that you are recalling the thing to your mind. It also means that you are affirming your commitment to a thing. So when Exodus chapter 20 says, "Remember the Sabbath day," that doesn't just mean remember that one day out of seven we have this thing called Sabbath. No, it means one day out of seven you are committing yourself to the day. You are making that day holy. When God says, "Remember that I am God," He's not just saying, "Recall to your mind that I exist." He's saying, "Commit yourself to me." When the thief on the cross turned to Jesus and said, "Lord Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. He wasn't just saying, Jesus, recall that I existed. He was saying, Jesus, commit yourself to me. Save me. Let me be with you in the kingdom. So this call to remembrance in the Scriptures is a call to bring something to the forefront of our minds, but then to commit ourselves to it. Now here at the Lord's Supper, we are called to regularly partake of the bread and from the cup, and we are to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. We recall who He is, we recall what He did for us, but then we also commit ourselves to Him again. And friends, remembering our Lord and His sacrifice would mean renewing the commitment we made when we first came to Christ. Perhaps you remember the day when you first acknowledged Christ with saving faith, the commitment that you made to His person, your commitment to be His follower. At the Lord's Supper, you are remembering your Lord and renewing that commitment to Him. You're renewing every commitment you have made to the Lord since that time. See, this is a time for us to reaffirm our Christian discipleship, to reaffirm that Christ is the most important thing to us, to reaffirm our commitment to walking in His steps. Now let's think of this truth together. Lord's Supper, we give thanks. At the Lord's Supper, we remember. And at the Lord's Supper, we also fellowship. We fellowship. The bread and the grapes used of communion are physical representations of the body and the blood of Christ. But you'll notice that when Jesus first observed this, He observed it in the company of His disciples. You'll also notice that this communion table was not meant to be just a display to look at and to admire, but rather these are elements that we are called to partake in. And so we celebrate the Lord's Supper together as a group, and we also partake of the elements. We don't merely look at them. And there is symbolic significance to all of this. First of all, the significance of ingesting the elements. What we are doing in the partaking of this supper is declaring our spiritual union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in eating the bread, which symbolizes His body, and drinking from the cup, which symbolizes His blood, by ingesting those elements, we are affirming that Christ has become a part of us. We have embraced Him. We have welcomed His teachings. He has become a part of us, and we have become a part of Him. Indeed, the Scriptures say that all believers in Christ enjoy this spiritual union with Him, this union that was forged by His love for us and by our love for Him. There's a spiritual bond between Christ and all of His people. There's a fellowship between Christ and His disciples. And we celebrate this at the Lord's table. But we're also expressing our fellowship with one another. You see, we don't celebrate the Lord's table privately in our homes. We don't celebrate it alone in a hospital bed. We celebrate it with our fellow believers in Christ. See, the Scriptures teach us that there is a bond of union between all of us as well. We are united to Christ by faith. We are also united to each other by virtue of that common faith. Your fellow church members are your brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, the Scriptures say we all belong to one body. We're all different parts in that body. My friends, true fellowship is a reciprocal relationship in which there's mutual giving and receiving. And we have this both with Christ and with each other. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we celebrate these truths. We also think about ways that we can enhance these realities. In fact, this is the reason why the Apostle Paul, later on in 1 Corinthians 11, tells every person to examine themselves before they partake. It's because the significance of the supper is giving thanks to God through Christ for all that He has done, and also acknowledging our union with Christ and with His church. And so we must examine ourselves and ask, am I truly Christ's disciple? Is there really a spiritual fellowship there? Do I really have fellowship with His church? Have I truly come to Him in repentance and faith? The answer to those questions is no, then you don't partake of the supper. These realities aren't true of you yet. But if they are true of you, then you do partake. And you celebrate the fact that you know Christ and that you know His people. Just to be clear, you don't have to be a member of Grace Baptist Church to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. This isn't the Grace Baptist Church Supper. This is the Lord's Supper. So do you know the Lord? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord? Do you love Him and His church? And celebrate your fellowship with both through this supper. I would also encourage each one of us to look back over the past quarter since the last time we observed this supper and ask ourselves, are we moving closer to Christ or are we moving farther away from Christ? Over the past quarter, have we desired more and more to know His ways? Have we tried more and more to be a faithful disciple of His? Have we found ourselves desiring to be in the company of our fellow Christians more and more? Have we found ourselves wanting to give more of our time and attention and energy to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Has that been our reality? Or have we found ourselves slowly drifting further away from Christ and His people? Have we become less consistent in our time of reading His Word and praying to Him? Are we finding our attendance in the public services of the church getting less and less consistent? Are we pulling away from our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, if we're pulling away, then let us use this communion service to rededicate ourselves to Christ and to His people. Let us draw near to them once again. This supper is about fellowship. It's about renewing the bonds that we have with Christ and with each other. Now let's sing about these truths together as we continue this service. So at the Lord's Supper, we give thanks and we remember and we fellowship. And fourthly, at the Lord's Supper, we hope. Let me ask you to look at the end of verse 26. Paul writes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." I love that final statement. It strikes me every time that I read it. So the bread of the Lord's Supper represents His body broken for us at the cross. The juice in the cup represents the blood of Christ shed for us at the cross, which means this whole observance is about the death of Christ. And yet, look what Paul says here. At the supper, we proclaim that death until He comes. Now, what is the implication of those words? It's that Christ, His body was broken, His blood was shed, He died on the cross, but He did not remain dead. He didn't stay in the grave. Christ rose from the grave in the same body in which He lived and died. For 40 days after His resurrection, He preached and He taught the people, and then He ascended into heaven. Today He sits at the right throne, at the right hand of the throne of God, enjoying a session before His kingdom commences. Our Lord is alive today. He is in heaven, and one day He will return. And at the Lord's Supper, we are looking back at what He has already done for us, but then we are also looking ahead to the work that is yet to be done. He is going to come back. He is going to complete the salvation that He promised He would complete. He is going to renovate the heavens and the earth. One day the curse will be gone from this universe. Sin and death will be no more, and it will be because of what the Lord Jesus Christ will do. See, at the Lord's Supper, we express our hope in these things. You understand hope is not just wishful thinking, at least not according to the Bible. Hope is a certainty about things to come. It is having a full conviction based on the promises that God has given. And so we live with this constant expectation that our Lord is coming again. He's coming soon. My friends, this is an encouragement for us to persevere in the faith. Sometimes being a disciple of Christ is easy, but sometimes it is hard. There are times when we are tempted to begin drifting away. But friends, when we observe the Lord's Supper and our commitment to Christ is renewed, and we are reminded again that He is alive and that He is there, and that He's going to come to complete what He has said, that helps us to continue on in the hard times. It helps us to be faithful to Him because we are thinking about our coming reward from Him. My friends, let's sing of this great truth that Christ is coming again. So at the Lord's Supper, we are expressing our gratitude to God for His goodness to us through Christ. We are remembering the Lord in the sense of reaffirming our commitment to Him. We are expressing the reality of our fellowship with God through Christ and the fellowship that we have with one another by virtue of our common faith. And we are expressing our hope in the Lord's return. At this time, I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward so we can participate in the Lord's Supper together. And as they're coming, let me just offer these final words. If the realities that we've been speaking about this morning are true of you, then I invite you to partake of these elements today. I invite you to eat the bread and to drink from the cup and celebrate with us what our Lord has done. If you are here and you have not yet made a commitment to Christ, because perhaps you feel you don't understand Him well enough yet, you don't understand all of the truths of the gospel, maybe you're just here considering the claims of Christ today, well, then I would offer this invitation to you. While the believers in Christ are partaking of the elements this morning, would you consider receiving Christ today by faith? Dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to secure our salvation. He offered a perfect life, the kind that we could not live. He offered a death in substitution for our sins, paying the penalty that we deserved because of our sins. And He offers full forgiveness and life to all people who respond in repentance, forsaking their sin and turning in full trust in God through Christ. So as the elements are passed, would you consider receiving Christ in your heart today as the Christians around you receive the elements? Well, the Scriptures tell us once more that on the night in which our Lord was betrayed, He first took bread and then He gave thanks. I'd like to ask one of our men to offer a prayer of thanks today. Bob, would you please pray for the bread that we have?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day which You have given to us. And we thank You for the opportunity for this special service this morning. Lord, please bless each one who has come into our attendance today. And as Pastor has already said, we pray for any that might not know You as personal Savior, that they might accept You during this time of service. And Lord, as we think of the communion service, we thank You for giving Your life that we might have eternal life. We thank You for the bread this morning, which represents Your body. And as we partake of this, we just pray for Your blessings upon each one of us. May we strive to honor and glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus broke the bread and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the scriptures tell us that in the same way, our Lord took the cup also, and then he gave thanks. I'm going to ask Matt Harmon if he would take the microphone and give thanks for the cup before us this morning.
Lord, we are thankful for the service we have today, the special reminder, Lord, and we just pray that we would examine ourselves, Lord, and be right before you. We're thankful for your sacrifice, and help us to think of you as we partake of the cup. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The cup and said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Scriptures then tell us that after the supper was concluded, Jesus and his disciples sang together. So I'm going to ask Matt Domzik to come and lead us in a final song.